Was it becoming routine the next day when I found the third letter? Well, not quite, but let's say I took it in stride. No secret electric current flowed. No dogs were silent that should have been barking. The moon did not shine in the middle of the day. There was nothing the least bit eerie about the moment. In this one, it was a more normal mistake, if mistakes were what they were. Inside my copy of Film Comment, I found another copy. Someone else around here was a subscriber. Now that's a very simple sorting error, isn't it? You don't need to introduce Baroque conspiracy theories or systems of occult connections to explain that one. Now do you? The address was right across the street from me, a Victorian red brick house with its own yard and hedges, once nearly a mansion, but long since divided into many apartments. Now, I've always been curious about this place, not least because the woman on the main floor, who apparently owns it, also owns four high-strung purebred dogs, two large snow-white Afghan hounds, and two tiny, equally snow-white toy poodles. The five of them promenade ensemble twice a day past my apartment. There were seven mailboxes, but only one doorbell on the broad porch stacked with old rotting screens and storm windows. I looked around for a moment, then pushed the round button. First, the silent pair of ghostly Afghans came bounding to the glass-paned door, then the two yipping poodles, and then their mistress in a platinum wig, her face powdered as white as her dog's, came gliding in her caftan. She apprised me brusquely that apartment 6A could only be reached by the fire escape around back. The fire escape led to a small, turret-like porch, where there was an hibachi grill, a window, a door, and two identical mountain bikes, locked together, front to rear. On the door was thumbtacked a fading poster proclaiming the first lesbian martial arts convention in some town in Connecticut. The woman who opened the door while I was reading the fine print on the poster was smaller, more delicate than I would have expected, but her stance was as solid as Bruce Lee's in the life-sized photo behind her. "I heard someone on the stairs," she said. Yes, I said. "They are noisy. This, I think it's yours, or your roommate's. It was wrapped in with mine." "Film Comment," she said. "It's mine. I don't have a roommate." "Well, good," I said, and I turned to leave, taking care not to bump the bikes or hibachi. "Wait," she said. "I know who you are. You were in the DA's office on Monday, you and your twin brother. You're that guy who works in the little video store." "I'm the manager," I said. "I never rent there," she said, as if stating a profound, inalterable law of nature. "But I've heard of you. You're writing a book on Akira Kurosawa." "On Toshiro Mifune," I said. "Many of the same films, of course, a different emphasis." Then she began to interrogate me. "Why Mifune, not Kurosawa?" "Narrow the focus," I said, "perhaps a broader public appeal. So I was writing for money." "No, not primarily, but I wouldn't mind if it sold. A coffee table book." "Well, it would be large format and illustrated, of course. Had I studied kendo?" No, I hadn't. "Any other martial arts?" I shook my head, deciding not to. to mention the Tai Chi video I rented once. Did I speak Japanese? Only the few phrases I'd picked up in my research. Then she stopped and looked at me as if considering going for the kill. But I guess she decided I posed no danger. So she thanked me for bringing the magazine and watched me as I clattered down the escape.